Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken. When you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, March 7th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, set a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and other great topics. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite. and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. That will get you an update about an hour before every show to remind her that we're going live very soon. I hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry: feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have a great show lined up for you today, but before we go any further, it is now time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. All righty, Pat, how you doing today?
Hey, Whisper, I'm doing pretty good today. Boy, it's a beautiful spring day here, and I was up bright and early, and feels like almost more than the middle of the day. So I'm having quite a quality day as well as an intense one. How are you doing? Did you have a good time over the weekend?
Oh, it was a fabulous weekend. We posted pictures on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. You'll be able to see them. Jen and I, we went up, and then we told everybody on Saturday who tuned in. But we went up Friday afternoon, stayed at a wonderful, wonderful bed and breakfast, met some great new friends there, went out to a local mom-and-pop restaurant, and then Saturday morning woke up, drove about, 8, 9, 10 miles down the road from where we were staying to the Mountain Valley Country Store. As we turned the corner up the street from the beautiful store they have there, you could see a beautiful lighted sign, kind of a marquee of sorts, that was automated and kind of scrolled all the kind of different information. And I did post the video of the sign on our Facebook page, but as Jen said, hey, your name is in lights. Your name's in lights. And there it was. It was Chick Days is today. Don't miss Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, live radio broadcast 10 to 11. Poultry Workshop, 11:30 to 1:30. Don't miss it. And it was just scanned. It's been scanning for a couple of weeks now. And they put my picture and a whole article about Chick Days and the event on Saturday and multitudes of papers in the area. And I got a copy of one of those, actually, to put it in the collection. But, yeah, they really promoted it very well. In fact, when I left, well, we asked the owner of the store, Chip, we said, hey, where's a good local place, mom and pop owned, that we can get some lunch before we head back to Hotlanta? And he said, oh, just take a ride out of the store parking lot, go down on your left, there's a place that you're not going to want to miss. So we walked in, and even then, we walked in, they said, hey, you're the Chicken Whisperer, you just had an event up the road. Of course, you know, who could miss the big marquee? So, you know, it was pretty interesting. I got my picture taken with a lot of the staff there at the cafe. It was great eats, and we had a good time. So, but yeah, the event was great. It was a huge success. We had a great radio show Saturday live on location for about an hour. And we actually talked a little bit about laws and ordinances and myths and rumors during the radio show, which was great. I've already had several people in the chat room thank me for that, because they've got an event coming up tonight in Gwinnett County we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But then we had about 40-plus people actually attend the poultry workshop, which is really for us about average. We've had anywhere from about 35 people to over 300 attend our poultry workshops across the country, and this was no exception. We counted kind of right as it had started, about 40 people. Some came in late, some left a little early, so between 40 and 50 total. That wanted to come out and learn about poultry during our poultry workshop, Backyard Chickens. So we had a really good time. It was another successful event spreading the chicken love out there across the country. So, yep, we had a really good time, and it ended up being a really good weekend for us, and we appreciate you asking. Our next event, while we're kind of on events, there may be one. You know, normally we will start scheduling events in October, November of the previous year. Our next event is going to be, it looks like, unless we have one scheduled during the week, because the next couple of weekends, Jen and I will be down at the farm, moving some things down that way, getting all that situated. But our next big event is going to be Cooptastic, it looks like, according to my calendar. Cooptastic, which is going to be up in Harrington, I believe it's Harrington, Delaware, up there near outside of Dover, Delaware. It's going to be on Saturday the 26th. We'll be telling you more about that. Of course, our guest, Bridget McRae, Dr. McRae, will be on, and she'll be telling us during her shows all about Cooptastic. She's the one who actually puts that show on. This will be the second annual, and they're hoping for hundreds of people to show up for that again this year. And that's Saturday the 26th there in just outside Dover, Delaware. And we've already found the bed and breakfast that Jen and I are going to stay with. I talked to the young lady over the weekend. I'm going to book that today. I've already got my car reserved, and I believe probably midweek I'll be reserving our Amtrak tickets to take Amtrak up there to Wilmington, Delaware, and then drive down. So that'll be the 26th of March. You're not going to want to miss that. If you're within even a couple of hours driving distance, you're going to want to come out, because it's going to be a really fun time. And there at Cooptastic. And I know for a fact, just kind of it's on the brain, on April the 30th, Pat, we may actually see you at this event at the Augusta Co-op in Staunton, Virginia. We'll be up there for that big event on a Saturday, April the 30th. So we'll be looking forward to that event as well. We'll be posting more about that as the date becomes closer. And there may be some in between there that we may be able to squeeze to. We'll just have to see. Dragonfly Farms, do you ever come west of the Mississippi? And I don't think we've actually had an event west of the Mississippi yet. It's not that we don't want to. It just it kind of incorporates all new issues with the long flights. We will not be coming west of the Mississippi probably until at least fall. With Jen's pregnancy, we've decided not to travel at all, really, for June, July, and August. Maybe the first 2 weeks of August. The last 2 weeks of August are going to be real iffy with the book coming out on September 1st, but we're trying to do June, July, and August. No travel at all, and any travel up to then, up through May, no planes. It'll be trains and automobiles, and then so that kind of limits our distance as well. We almost, very close. In fact, I actually said that we would book it. And then a couple of days later, after considering and our options, we we canceled it, and it was an event out to California. There was a big trade show that was going to be out there in California. We were going to make the trip during spring break, take the train from Atlanta down to New Orleans, and then we're going to take the train from New Orleans out to L.A. And then do an event out there for spring break. So we were looking forward to that, but then I thought, you know, that's a mighty long trip. So and so we decided not to. And, of course, with the big move coming up, we decided to spend spring break down at the farm and maybe make a couple of trips with furniture and whatnot during that week. So, but one day we will be getting out. I specifically would think after the book is released September 1st, we'll try to get out there on the West Coast. Lots of fans out there and lots of requests from Seattle to Portland to L.A., San Francisco, Sacramento, lots of folks and fans out there and listeners. So definitely, yeah, no kidding, Ralph. Ralph says, CW, you need to get someone to sponsor a motorhome and then hit the road. Hey, no one agrees with that more than I do, Ralph. And maybe we can even get a tow bar on the back and we can tow around a nice-looking black 4x4 Blazer. So when we park that motorhome and want to kind of do little daily excursions, then we'll have some transportation to do that. Because they do make tow bars for those big RVs, and that that good-looking 87 Blazer would be beautiful on the back of a nice nice motorhome. I completely agree. So how about your weekend, Pat? Tell me what all you did.
Oh, I had just a nice laid-back weekend. It was rainy. I mean, it was so rainy that our local river was just about flooding over onto the banks. And because of the cloudiness, it was kind of cold and rainy. So I just kind of hunkered down and slept, took some naps, read some, watched a couple movies that I was been intending to watch. One of them was about nourishing traditions with Sally. Excuse me, Sally Fallon. Absolutely fascinating. Wonderful, wonderful videos. So I had a real laid back weekend. Not that much really happened. Got caught up on some of the accounting, which is always a good thing. So I don't have a lot to say. It was just one of those, just enjoyed the weekend.
Kind of relaxing, staying around the house type of weekends, eh?
Yeah. Very, very laid back. Very pensive. I found myself in quite a pensive mode, which is good. I think sometimes we get so filled with distractions of doing this and doing that that we kind of take time to just reflect on things. So I took a little time just to go over what I want to do in the future and what I've done in the past and just kind of, you know, take an assessment, I guess you'd say. So that's always satisfying. Reviewed some of the magic moments for the past since the new year. It's amazing how intense and rich this year has been already. Sometimes I think we get in the stream of day to day and we forget how fast the river's moving. I mean, it's like last week all these amazing things happened and you forget them already. So it was good to kind of review the year going, wow, things really are happening and they're happening big time. So, you know, sometimes I get a little frustrated thinking, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing enough of that. And then I just have to look back at what's happening and go, yeah, things are fine. Things are going just right. So that was. I took two saunas over the weekend just to kind of sweat it out, too. That was really good. Love sauning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel so good afterwards. It's just like it cleans you from the inside out. Yeah. So that was my weekend. Just kind of a coasting along weekend. Got a long list of things I want to. My bucket list keeps getting longer. So I added quite a few things over the weekend onto that too. So that makes me realize how valuable life is and how much I really do want to live it.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, it's life is good, and I, nobody knows that better than I do. That's for sure. I've been very blessed and with doing what I really love and enjoy doing, and blessed with a wonderful wife, and she loves it too, and she supports me 100%. So I'm glad you had a great weekend, Pat. That's always good. I hope all our listeners also had a good weekend with family and friends. So and I'm really looking forward to meeting you, Pat, if you can make it out to Staunton.
Well, I'll be there. I've got it on my calendar. Our listeners may not know it. We've been working together, almost 2 years now?
Yeah, and a half, I think
two
so.
Years, and we've never met in person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always, although I feel like I know you very, very well, and probably the same thing, but we'll have a lot of laughs when we meet, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Lots of laughs, and of course hopefully we'll be planning on broadcasting live together right next to each other at the broadcast table, which will be a hoot. And then I know you'll have some of your books there. We hope that you'll be there autographing, and then maybe as well you can participate a little bit in our and see what we're all about when we do the poultry workshop there as well, which would be equally as awesome. So yeah, we'll just have to see as that event rolls around a little closer how we'll be able to get that done and have fun there and meet hopefully lots of our listeners and fans. So looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
A little bit of chickens in the news today. I have some that I'll be honest, haven't completely read. I have had several come across the wire through Google Alerts, but I want to tell everybody right now that tonight, a lot of people from the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group are going to be meeting. It's scheduled as a meetup event at the Gwinnett County Board of Commissioners meeting. The Gwinnett County Board of Commissioners meeting. We're going to be, it looks like right now we've got 24 backyard poultry buffs/members that are going to be going. Kimberly in the chat room says she's going to be there, and she's going to be speaking as well. And I'm looking at to see what time it actually starts, 7 p.m. tonight. And just a reminder, if you are listening from the meetup group, we thank you for doing that. We want to remind you to wear yellow. That's kind of been a trademark with the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group since day one. Whenever we show up, so they know that we're a group and we're all together and we're all fighting for the same thing, we want to wear yellow. I know sometimes it's hard to find a yellow shirt in the middle of winter, but spring will be here just in a few days. But a yellow hat, yellow coat, yellow scarf, yellow wristbands, yellow button, yellow shirt, yellow pants, yellow sports suit, if you have that, that would be great if you could wear. happen to have a nice yellow with the white stitching sport coat with some white shoes. Now that would be an attention getter. So yeah, yellow anything. And so we're going to have a good time. And I can't commit yet that I'm going to be there. I talked to Jen last night and this morning. She has no meetings after school. She did say that she'll try to come home as soon as she possibly can. There may be even enough time for if she gets home early, which is a rare, but she might be able to get in a nap, and then we can head on out there to the Gwinnett County courthouse. It's the historic courthouse there. And who knows, maybe I can get out there. We'll just have to see. If I can, there won't be any missing the Chicken Whisperer with my yellow shirt and yellow hat. And if I do come, you can bet your bottom dollar that I will be speaking as well. I always have a prepared presentation. I hate to say a speech, but a presentation. And I may have to fine-tune it a little bit. It says you've got about 3 minutes to speak. And so I'll have to maybe have to eliminate this, that, or the other. But we'll just have to see. If I'm there, then you'll see us. So and Jen, of course, will be by my side, so you'll see her too. And she's got a yellow Chicken Whisperer shirt that she may be wearing. So who knows, Kimberly? We may be out there at the Gwinnett County Government, Gwinnett Historic Courthouse. And 24 people says they're going. I just may have to mark yes as well and see how that all pan out. Maybe let me ask. Was there Kimberly? Was there a and she's in the chat room right now. Is there any plan to go to supper, or depending on where you're from, dinner after the event? And we're on about a 25-30 second delay, so it'll be a minute before I see her answer in the chat room. But just wondering if there's maybe a way if she says yes. I don't know if that's yes to my question or not, but just wondering if there's any plans to go out to dinner or supper with the crowd after it is over, if that would be too late. I think doing that before 7, people getting home from work and trying to get there, then probably wouldn't happen. But we'll just have to see at 5:30. Okay, something is going on at 5:30. Put in there what's going on at 5:30. Where y'all meeting at 5:30? Because I don't I don't see it listed, but it might be. So anyway, she'll let everybody know in the chat room, and I can share with that and go down the meetup group website and take a look and see if anybody is going to be meeting up for dinner. So anyway, that's some chickens in the news tonight. Let me get over to the there's some other local chickens in the news here. Let me see here. And it has to do with another city here. I'm just going to read this one. There's several that came out. I'll post them on our Facebook page. This comes to this from the Republic, all the way from Columbus, Indiana, but it was news here in Gainesville, Georgia. The so-called poultry capital of the world cries foul at allowing chickens in backyards. Now, I haven't read this yet, folks, so this will be news to me. I've seen it come across my BlackBerry, but I haven't actually read the story. So let's see here what we got here. Gainesville, Georgia. Gainesville may be called itself the poultry capital of the world, but city lawmakers don't want to change rules to let homeowners allow chickens to run loose in their backyards. Okay, all of a sudden, in the first paragraph, we've got bad information, okay? Chickens running loose in their backyards, okay? Already we start off the article with bad information. Come on, get a grip, folks. Report some truthful news. Legislators in other North Georgia towns are considering whether to allow homeowners to keep chickens as pets, but officials in Gainesville say they don't see the city code changing anytime soon. The city has banned people from keeping backyard chicken coops since 1958. Hall County ordinances allow residents in unincorporated areas to keep animals as long as they are adequately contained. How vague is that? Gary Cansey manages the City Code Enforcement Division. He says officials haven't had any complaints of homeowners keeping poultry in the backyard in the last few years. So that's kind of a short article. Let me see if we've got another one that may elaborate on this a little bit. Here's one from the Gainesville Times, right there in the city of Gainesville itself. The GainesvilleTimes.com, your news, your times. This comes from Carolyn Christ. Residents in two Barrow County cities are asking for chickens in their backyard, but Gainesville officials don't see any change in their pet ordinance anytime soon. In Winder, city council members have decided that homeowners should be allowed to keep up to 10 chickens as pets and are expected to vote on it in upcoming weeks. Auburn property owners, not Auburn, Alabama, but Auburn, Georgia, Auburn property owners may be able to house up to 36 chickens and hens if proposed regulations from the Planning and Zoning Commission pass an upcoming city council meeting. Our current regulation identifies livestock as cattle, horses, goats, sheep, swine, and other hoofed animals, but also includes poultry, ducks, geese, and other live fowl, Auburn City Planner Larry Lucas said at a public forum last week about the possible changes. The ordinance change would categorize chickens and hens as pets rather than livestock. Roosters would not be allowed because of their noise potential. I know that there is a growing interest in a number of different municipalities and counties proposing to allow backyard chickens. State Rep. Bobby Franklin, Republican in Marietta, Representative in Marietta, I think he's a Republican as well, introduced a bill in 2010 that would allow residents to keep animals or grow food for personal use in their backyards. The bill cleared the House Agriculture Committee but died in the House Rules Committee in crossover day when the bills must make it out of the chamber and onto the floor. It says this year several metro Atlanta cities are allowing chickens and hens, including Decatur, Villarica, and Smyrna. Keeping backyard chicken coops has been outlawed in Gainesville since 1958, and in the past several years, Gainesville Code Enforcement have issued about, now this says 10, in the last several years, 10 citations to residents unlawfully keeping chicken coops in their backyard. Most complaints come from neighbors who are irritated by the noise, but code enforcement officials haven't dealt with any problems lately, said Gary Cansey. So you can read this. We'll make sure we post this on our Facebook page where we post all of our chickens in the news stories. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And so that's a couple of from you right here locally. So that kind of inspires me to head on out to the Gwinnett County Courthouse tonight. And I'll just see. I'm not going to promise anything right now. You may not even know until I walk into the door if I'm going to be there, but we'll just have to see if that's going to pan out tonight. Pat, you have any chickens in the news to share with us before we get to our preparedness show today?
Yeah, I don't. It's been so slow. I had that one about the chickens not allowed in the chicken capital kind of thing. But, you know, why? We'll come to a time when this will just be such old, boring news that there are chickens in every city in the U.S. for people who want them.
Yep.
And until then, I guess we'll just keep tracking them. But I think the economy, you know, the economy is kind of shaky, as if we all didn't know. And I think if it goes worse and certainly unemployment hits and we get more inflation, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with the dollar. It's only backed by faith. And we don't even know how many dollars are printed because they stopped reporting the amount of money overseas. It's the MM3 money. So I think as more people want to live healthier lives and closer to their food and certainly know where their food comes from, there'll just be more and more chickens. They'll be part of the culture again.
Yep, again, that's the key. This is nothing new. It's again, I mean, you know, bell bottoms have come back.
Yeah, bell bottoms. Good old bell bottoms.
Low hip riding pants, I guess you see now all the time. It's pretty nutty. So,
well, I think in a way though, there are some new things because we're starting to understand how to use chickens in ways that were never really used before, at least not that I've read in any of the old texts. Mm-hmm. I mean, how to really integrate them as insecticiders and how to truly use their manure to enrich soil instead of viewing it as a stinky, yucky waste. So there are new ways. We're on the cutting edge. We are here, and it's expanding so fast that it's kind of hard to keep up. But we'll do the best of it.
Yep.
And, of course, that's going to, as the myths and the... So much of this is just fear and misunderstanding, and even some greed. I think with the fear that the big agriculture won't get their food fair share, which is of course ridiculous. I mean, we're never really going to be without big ag, because they will be feeding the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us that want to grow food in our backyards, and that includes eggs and even meat, you know, there is a right to be able to do that. That seems
correct.
Inalienable. So yeah. So, yeah, bring on the bell bottoms and bring on the chickens.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, folks, it's about half past the hour. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to start our episode. It is the first Monday of the month, first Monday of March, which means it's the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley. And today, we're talking all about kind of a variety of topics. We'll be discussing emergency bug-out bags. If you're not sure what that is, stay tuned. You'll find out soon enough. Family emergency plans, a little bit about emergency communications, and that'll be today's topic on the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley. And then about 20 past the hour, 20 after 1 Eastern, on the radio show here today, one lucky listener is going to win a Hen Saver hen apron from Crazy K Farm. And we just can't give enough of these away. Everybody's saying, oh, I got to have one of those. Oh, I want one of those. I got to tune in Monday because I got to have a chance to win a Hen Saver hen apron. We'll be giving one of those away about 20 past 1 Eastern. So stay with us. We'll be back with the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Presenting the Clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
The Clapper.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is the first Monday of March. Can you believe it? And the first and fourth Mondays, of course. No, the first and third Mondays. The Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley. And again, today we're talking about preparing and what you should have in your bug out bag. Family emergency plans, for example. If you're not all in the house, when an emergency may occur. How do you communicate on where to go, where to meet up, how to get there. And then emergency communications a little bit. How would you communicate if you were not in the house together? And then whether or not, if you had a place to go, should you bunker down where you're at? Should you try to make that trip, depending on how far you go, what major cities you have to go through based on traffic, whether there might have been an EMP detonated, which may even make your car unstartable because of the electronics on the new cars today. So touch on a little bit about that today. So again, like I always say, get that Chicken Whisperer Radio Show spiral notebook out, date it today's date, and take plenty of notes because we're going to be covering a lot of different issues today on the Preparedness Show. Aaron Mackley, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us again.
Well, Andy, it's always good to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
Welcome, Aaron.
As you said, we have a lot of information to cover. And good morning. Well, morning for me. It's a little afternoon for you too, Pat. I'm excited to be here. When we called and discussed what our topic was today, mm-hmm. I was having a kind of hard, difficult time deciding how to organize, how I wanted to best present this. But I think we have way more stuff to cover than I think we'll have time to cover. So we can move a lot. We can move through this pretty quickly. But one of the main things, let me take you back maybe a few years, when I really got interested in maybe an exit plan, if you will, is when I lived in Virginia and Hurricane Isabel was coming through. Now, that was long before the big drastic one of, Florida one? Katrina. And this was maybe about 5 years before that. And when Isabel was coming through, we lived right on the coast, lived in Chesapeake. And as it was coming through, you know, they're saying it's coming, it's getting to be a 4, it's getting to be a 5. The nature of the hurricanes on the East Coast is it tends to slow it down as it gets closer because, you know, it has to move up into colder water. So by the time it actually hit the shore, it was only at about a 1, maybe in some places a 2, but I think it was sort of full 1. But even so, it was pretty bad and knocked the power out in many places in most places for about a week. But in many places, as much as a month. So it was a lot more devastating than
that,
a lot
that
of...
That month would do it for a lot of people. I mean, that's a really long time to cope with no electricity.
Oh, it is. It is. And a lot of people... And the first things that happened, one of the first things that happened is, you know, obviously people are, the first few days, they're looking for water. After getting over the water crisis, one of the main things was, you know, people wanted that power back on, and the first main thing was, you know, their refrigerators and their freezers, and then people started having block parties after about 3 or 4 days. They started having block parties to use up the meat that was going to go bad because the refrigerators were finally getting just too warm, and so we had lots of barbecues, and then after that is when the real problems started to occur when it had to do with food and people. And the number one main thing people were trying to do is get gasoline for their gas generators, and people were saying, oh, we need more generators. No, you just need to deal with this in a different way and not use the gas generator. So I'm not a fan of gas generators, by the way. That's not really our topic, but I just kind of – but that got me thinking.
Actually, I think that may be – wouldn't that – as we talked about, maybe in a couple of weeks when you come back, that we were talking about, that might be our topic for solar, gas, different types of generators.
Yeah, and I think that, as a matter of fact, I was going to also suggest that because talking about electrical generators, solar generators, from understanding technicalities of what is. I mean, it took me a long time. I'm not an electrician by any means, and I had to call the guy and said, can you help me understand what it is I'm dealing with here? Because I don't know, you know, all these amps and, you know, all. But I finally got it, so I understood how this all kind of works. So I think next week or in a couple weeks from now, that would be a good topic about using different generators, when you might want a gas generator and when you might want solar generators. But as I started looking at that topic, and I thought, at that time, I worked for the newspaper, the Virginian Pilot, that is in Chesapeake. Actually, it's in Norfolk, Virginia, but I live in Chesapeake, just across the city border there. And Chesapeake is across the river from Norfolk, where the paper is. And my job is, I was a technical person to make sure that their computers were running so that they could produce a newspaper. In newspaper industry, missing one day is, number one, it's bad for reputation, but number two, it's a lot of revenue for a company. I mean, they go, you know, several, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in ads and different things, and so if they don't produce, that all has to be returned. So it's a significant thing not to be able to produce a paper. My job was to make sure that they could produce that paper in their offline site. It was kind of their backup press site, which is on higher ground and things like that. Well, what does that do? That means that I have to be in town when the hurricane is going to hit. So the number one thing is, when do we bug out, when do we use a 72-hour kit? Now, this was before we had a lot of food stored, but we didn't really have a good 72-hour plan. We didn't have a escape route planned. And when you're in Norfolk, in order to get someplace, you have to cross a bridge, period. If you're going to go, I mean, it's you have to get to one bridge, or you have to go, there's another one that goes under the bay, or there's one, you know, bridges that go over. You're crossing rivers, you're crossing the bay, Chesapeake Bay, over to get over into the to the other side. And so there's water all around you. And this brought to my mind, I don't even know how to get out of this city if I have to get out of the city. Mm-hmm. And what is the best thing? So the first advice, before we even get to a bug-out bag or a 72-hour kit, you have to know your escape routes. You have to know what's available to you and what is not available to you. You need to, and you need to drive those. And then, now, the wonderful things that we have right now in technology is you can go to Google Maps or MapQuest or some of these other mapping software places and get a map of your area, of all of the roads, and then drive them. Drive them during rush hour traffic. Drive them not during rush hour traffic. And find out what's going to happen. Because if you don't know what will jam, then you are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you wait to the last minute, well, that's a different topic about when to get out, but you've got to know your routes. Now, I live in a much more open community now. I'm not surrounded by water, but I'm next to a river, and I need to know if I have to get over a river to get into any, or I have to drive a long way around, a lot longer way around, in order for me to get across the river to get into where supplies are. Either into my town, which I don't live in a big town, but if I need to go to larger cities and get to the interstate, I have to cross that river. Now, there's a couple bridges, but I need to know what those bridges are and how to get across, and possibly even alternative routes that are longer. So the number one thing is when you have it's quiet, like it is right now, that's the time for you to become very well versed in your city, in your where you can go. Now, if you're in Midwest, where they're wide open country, it's a lot different than if you're going to be New York City or any of the other cities. What bridges, what interstates do you have? What are possible? Think of if you live in an earthquake zone. These things are real things. These are not major man-made disasters. These are earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes. You have to know what are the disaster possibilities in your area, the likely disaster possibilities in your area. And then when you drive, you need to say which routes are likely to become jammed and what are your secondary or tertiary, I think is how you say that, routes to get out of the city. And if you haven't done that, then you're not really prepared to get out. You might have your map, but you haven't, if you don't really know those routes, and you're not certain, for example, when I was in Chesapeake, there were a couple side routes that you could go. Now, all of them had to get back over a particular bridge, but there are some minor bridges that you could go to. Most people went to the major bridges, and those are the ones that jammed the most. But the minor bridges, do you even know how to get there? Because some roads, I kid that all, when I was out there, I'd tell the people, he says, you guys, you don't even know how to make a straight road. I mean, back out in the West, we go for miles. I mean, you could it goes, and you can see where it goes, becomes a dot. Whereas out here, my goodness, the trees and the roads turn. They just didn't know how to make straight roads back then. Actually, I think they just followed paths and things. But as the cities grew and grew, but so you have to know where those roads are going to turn. Which things are going to be dead-ended, which ones are going to come to a fork, but you have to turn left or right, and then that road doesn't. You got to know those things. The maps will help you, but then you have to choose some of your best ones and put that in. Now, on my website that we have, it's called Pazumpa, P-A-Z-U-M-P-A, and I'm going to point you, generally I point you to a lot of other websites. Today, I've got a lot of information that on this website that will help you to do that. At Pazumpa.com. There are some menus up across the top that said one is called Home, and then our video library that has a bunch of videos that I've talked about in the past, water purification, equipment, and different things like that, fire starting, those kind of things. But under the preparedness, there is a submenu of water and equipment and emergency. If you just click on the main title, it will bring you to a list of articles in the preparedness. One of those is the emergency, and in that list, so the main preparedness menu, and then under emergency, it gives you a list of articles. And those articles are a 72-hour mock disaster and a 72-hour mock disaster follow-up. Now, it's not a mock. You're not putting on a big mock disaster. It's in your home. You plan to have a pretend mock disaster for 72 hours and deal with it. You turn off your water. You turn off your power for 72 hours, not 24 hours. 24 hours, people can, okay, so I don't drink a whole bunch of stuff, or I can fast for 24 hours, but I'm getting hungry after that. And at 72 hours, all of a sudden, your perspective of how prepared you really are. Can you cook? Can you, So download those, or just open those articles. There's one that's pre, so you can, here's what you should do, and then, in the 72-hour follow-up questionnaire helps you decide what, how well did you do and what do you need to fix? Some other articles about sheltering in place, pandemic supplies, pandemic preparations, different things like that, and nuclear preparedness and things. So there's about five or six articles in that particular area. The other area that I want you to go to is across the top, there's one called resources. And click the first option on there is the emergency prepared. Let's try that one again. The Emergency Preparedness Handbook. Now, we put together, there's a whole bunch of other ones in there as well, but topics. But the Emergency Preparedness Handbook, we did a lot of work to put a full family emergency preparedness plan handbook together. This, we did this about 4 or 5 years ago. And when we did that, the whole purpose was to create a handbook that you could put in a binder, like a one-inch binder that you can get at any of the, you know, any store, you know, office supply store, one-inch binder, and you put that in, and it has things to fill out like your family contact cards and a emergency contact list and a first aid checklist, a 72-hour kit, or a bug-out bag. People call them a bug-out bag, meaning I'm taking it and leaving. Some of the checklists to put in those. And you can make your own, or you can buy them. I used to make my own, but I find that I went and bought a few, two or three for my family, because I just find that they're just better built. They're you know, they're the backpacks, they work, and you know. But you can make your own, and there's a list on there. And then a fire safety checklist. Why a fire safety checklist? In particularly in earthquake regions, or possibly we don't get it so much in a hurricane, but possibly tornado, but definitely an earthquake region, we have this problem. You know, we use natural gas or propane underlines, and you break some of those, you've got to be very careful about fire, and fire in homes, things tip over, and then afterwards, you know, just working with, you know, if you've got gas leaks or anything like that, you need to know how to turn it off. I believe in that checklist it tells you how, it has some things about how to turn them off. If you don't know how to turn off the gas in your to your home, most people have gas, natural gas or propane, for either cooking or heating. Not everyone, but a lot, you know. You need to know how to turn that off without sparks. You know, because if there's gas and you have a spark, you have explosion. So being careful about that. If you don't know how, you need to contact the city, and they'll come out and show you how to do that. There's little tools that you probably should have that they are sparkless, if you will. They won't. I think they're made out of a strong aluminum that will not cause a spark if you're, you know, hit metal against metal. It makes so you can turn that off, and you just need to know how to do that. Maybe you do. I know my wife she didn't know how to do that. She didn't know where it was, so I had to go and teach her how to do that at that point. So that's a good thing you need to make sure you do. So those things you can download. Those are PDFs. There's a lot of information. If you get the Family Emergency Preparedness Plan Handbook, it has all of those other lists, or you can download those separately. And they're all right there. I looked at them today and uploaded and I checked most of them. I didn't check them all. And make sure that you can right-click and download. Those will be helpful to you to be a little bit more prepared. So when you're thinking about getting out, when do you need to get out? Well, my first advice is this: don't be stupid. Listen to the, you know, so many people that just say, "Oh, I can ride it out." Just shut up. Don't be stupid. You know, get out of there if you can. Now, obviously, there are emergency personnel in my job situation. They really wanted us to stay there. They provided a bunker so that we could. I mean, one of their press utilities is in a really solid building. You know, brick reinforced building, and that's where we hold up for 24 hours. But I can tell you that 24 hours in a bunker building is pretty uncomfortable. If you don't, number one, think about cold. You know, if the power goes out, it gets rather chilly. Do you have jackets in your 72-hour or bug out kit or a family emergency kit, or there's all sorts of things that they might call it. You need to have something that keeps you warm. The three important things are, number one, warmth and water. And warmth is actually more, probably more important even than the water. You can you can deal with 24 hours of not having water. But I'll tell you, it can get pretty miserable pretty quickly if you're cold or wet. So staying dry and warm are very, very critical. And as a matter of fact, cold and wet, if you're in an exposed area, if you're not even not exposed to the to the outside air, but if it's cold inside and if it's in a winter type situation, cold and wet will kill you long before any thirst will. So that's really the number one thing. You need to learn, you need to make sure that you've got clothing that can handle the cold, depending upon your region. And your 72-hour kit should have that. Now, ones you buy will not have that. And the problem is, oftentimes, you'll have that available for all your kids, and then you go to use it, and they've outgrown it. You've got to stay on top of that. So your 72-hour kits should be in your home where you can get to them easily, where you see them. Now, we have ours in a closet where we hang our coats. They're right above our head every time we put them in there. So I can see those, and I'm reminding of those. But it doesn't mean I get in there frequently. You might want to put on your, everybody has electronic calendars now, either on a computer or on their BlackBerry or whatever, and just put every 6 months, check up on our clothes and see if our sizes and things like that. Food things, they go bad. Some of them last for years, and they sit in your stomach for years too. So you just got to think about what you've got in those things as far as food and water.
You're right on that some things can sit in your stomach for a very long time that have been on the shelf for a very long time.
That's it. They've meant that, they have the preservatives in there to be preserved, and they'll preserve
right.
You as well. You just got to think about those kind of things. I could talk the pros and cons of what we want to put in there as far as the food. There's 1,000 different websites that will tell you what kind of food in there. They have the MREs, and I know the military uses them, and I've used them. They're not my favorite, but I have some available because they do have a shelf life of so many years. But I really like, as far as food, I really do like the freeze-dried stuff. They'll stay pretty good for a lot of years, but you just have to make sure. The problem is with freeze-dried, you've got to have water. And see, a lot of, we put water in those, and in the 72-hour kits, we put a little bit of water in there, but you can you get and can you purify your own water? We have on the website, as a matter of fact, we have several videos that take you to the video section about water purification, because that's the number one thing. First, you got to stay warm and dry. Number two, you've got to have water. Well, when we were in, our little bunker area, we were sleeping on these hard floors, and I wish I had some pictures for you, but, my children were young. I had a boy who was like 1 year old, maybe, and it's dirty. They try to keep it clean, but it's kind of like sleeping in a clean garage. It's still dirty. It's not like washed. It's not like a clean garage is swept out maybe, but you get dirty, and it's just, can you clean up? And those are the things. So when you're trying to decide to get out, you want to look, number one, you've got to have your escape routes. You've got to know where it is. Number two, you've got to have planned on those. You've traveled them yourselves. You know in your brain, you can see the roads where you're turning, where, drive home from work 2 or 3 or 4 times using those routes, and then know what's available. Because like Andy said, when we first started, what if we have an EMP? An EMP, just very briefly, for someone who may not know what that means, it stands for electromagnetic pulse. What that is it's a huge electrical pulse in the air that would cause the power grids to shut down. You say, well, what would cause that? Well, nuclear blast would cause that. If someone shot off a nuclear blast, as a matter of fact, from my research, it may be incorrect now, but I think it's still correct. An EMP is one of the very few national emergencies that the nation does not really have a good defense against. if, for example, and this isn't what I don't want to get off into weird that topic,
yeah.
but if Rogue Nation or even was able to deliver a nuclear weapon up into the air, they didn't even have to land, up into the air, and it blasts off in the air, it would cause a shockwave, and essentially what happens is electrical, it all of that electrical power travels along any line, like telephone lines, and as it travels forward, it amplifies. And so when it hits the little boxes, we don't call them breaker boxes, we call them, the transformers. It blows out transformers, and when you blow out your transformer, then you blow out the rest of your power line. And what, as a matter of fact, they're in warfare, they suspect that modern warfare, an EMP would be their first target, trying to get it to blast and cause an EMP, because then everything that we use that's based on power is out, unless we have
vehicles. We talk about vehicles as well, the modern day vehicles, and I'm far from expert with this, from a little bit of research on the older vehicles before electronic ignition maybe okay versus today's vehicles, that it's all based computer based. Just about everything's computer based on the new cars. That those
right.
may
Any,
be
anything that has an electronic circuitry. Anything. Mm-hmm. Your computers, your car computers, some of your radios nowadays are electronics instead of instead of the digital things analog dials and things like that. So that you're getting an analog signal, but it comes through a digital circuitry, and so you lose your radios unless it's an analog, like mm-hmm. some of the older ones. And so you have to be, you have to watch for that. What it would do, what it does is it shuts down and fries. It blasts the we have those same type of circuit breakers, if you will, inside your circuit as well. It's smaller, but it doesn't matter because, it can only handle so much. We've heard of, you get brown power where, the power kind of goes down and back up. Computers and technology is not designed for that, and that alone will blow out a lot of the circuitry. That's why we have our USBs on our those little things we plug into that catches that brown power and makes it so that it won't zap our computers. Well, an EMP does that on a much greater scale, and it will knock out any circuits from a automobile, except the older cars that are based on a carburetor and mechanical. It does not affect, an EMP will not affect a mechanical engine. It affects circuits and electrical circuitry. And we say, well, can't we just unhook the battery or something like that? That helps, but if it's significant enough, it will blow out a majority of those. And it is a real threat. It's not something made up. It is a real threat. They can duplicate this very quickly and easily and prove that it will happen. So, yeah, that is a problem. Cars can be disabled. I don't know if we have that real serious threat or not to worry about. I hope our military can pay attention. That's their primary purpose is to try to defend it. But it's something very difficult to defend against because, anybody with a rocket that, had enough technology just to get it into the air, which is significant, by the way, and it's not like, just anybody can do that. It takes significant effort to do that, but if they can get it through and make it look like a merchant ship and blast it off, we have that problem. And by the way, it takes about three of those: one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and probably one in the Gulf that would disable about 99% of the U.S. electrical grid. So it doesn't take a whole lot. Anyway, but that's one.
That's really scary.
That
thought is just that only three, and most of the electrical stuff would be out in the entire U.S.
Yeah, it is, and yet at the same time, I try to be optimistic and positive about this because it's difficult, very difficult to make that technology work right. Okay, and I don't know if I even expect that to ever happen, but it is a possibility. But the main thing is we just need to be aware of our surroundings, where we have to go, and decide when we have to leave and get out when we can, and try not to get caught in. If it looks like like, for example, when the city starts saying, when the city officials, see, when Isabel, the city officials were not saying, hey, we need to get out. They did in a few right on the border area, is saying, hey, this is going to come in. You know, if you're within 200 yards of the coast, you need to get off the coast. But they didn't say evacuate the city at that point. Whereas in Katrina and some of the other ones, they have said, yeah, you need to evacuate the city. And at that point, at the point when they start saying you need to evacuate the city, or if they're even coming close to it, because sometimes officials just, you know, there's the political aspects of these kind of things, and when they're saying that, you know, I would say, you know, your newspaper is really important, but my wife and my family, my life is a lot more important. Thank you very much. So you've got to be wise, and you know, maybe police and fire might have and you know, they might have a little bit different perspective and need to be the little bit longer. Those are hard calls. But for the majority of us, the people, you know, follow advice and just get out of the way and then come back. I mean, because, you know, when you come see a hurricane-riddled city, and which I did, I'm just going, that's why, it's one of the reasons I'm not there anymore, by the way, is I just said, I don't want that. I don't want to have that threat all the time. And so, you know, every year, is it going to happen this year? Is it going to happen this year? I didn't want that. So that's one of the main reasons we kind of came back to the West, where we have our own separate problem. Okay, let's see. There were some other topics that we wanted to talk. We talked about the EMP.
Let's go to a we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we come back. We will continue. When we come back, we should have about 10 minutes to continue. That'll give you a couple of seconds to get some notes together on what you want to kind of wrap up with over the last 10 minutes there, Aaron. And today we're talking. It is the first Monday of the month. It is the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley. We're talking about a little bit of everything, bug out bags, EMP, preparedness plans, a little bit about communication, meetup points. You know, if we're all heading out somewhere, where do we meet back up if something should happen or it hits the fan? So we may can elaborate on that when we get back as well. You're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer on Blog Talk Radio. Stay with us, folks.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com.
That's idealpoultry.com. You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer today. First Monday of the month, the preparedness show with Aaron Mackley talking all about different things, bug out bags and EMPs and communications and emergency plans and mapping and you name it. So we've got about 10 minutes left to continue and finish up our show today, Aaron. And so what's next on the agenda, my friend?
Well actually, one of the most important pieces, and I'm glad when you went to the commercial break, you mentioned it. And I thought, oh, that's right. I hadn't talked about this. This is one of the most important things. When you leave, say a family is splitting up. Some father has to go on a business trip or something like that. Any time that I leave my home, and I'm going to be gone for more than the day. If I'm overnight without, before I walk out, I review this family plan and what we plan to do. Now, what do we need? Number one, here are three things. And I believe all of this is in that one of those handouts. Let me just jump to this real quick. There is a handout called A List of Preparedness Activities that you might want to download. It's part of that handbook that we had created. And I believe it's all of these things are in here. But in this communication plan, you need to know, number one, okay, if I leave and something happens, earthquake, mass riots, whatever, you know, something happens, and you're not sure, well, if I'm going to leave, I'm just going to make sure and nothing will happen. But I need to know, number one, first step, where will they go locally if something is a problem? So my family, we know that our first step, that if they're not home, and because of something, I know the first place to check locally, not someplace like a big family thing that we're going to try to meet up with all of our family or something like that. But I need to know where they're going to go. In our case, it's a church, okay, a specific church, and because we would tend to go and gravitate to the people that we know the best locally to see if there's any instructions or group community activity that's going to happen. That's our first priority. So I'd check there first, and that's within about a mile of my home, okay? The second thing is, if they're not there, and the other thing that we do is if they have to leave home, there's a place around my yard or my home that we know that we will leave in a plastic bag a note and put it in a certain spot, and it will say, we had to leave, this is where we are going, okay? So that is, we always know that if we had to go, we would have that plastic bag, and I'd find it, and I'd know right where to go to find them, okay? So that they would know that I know how to find them, whether or not I have any form of communication or not. And that's particularly important if I have to go somewhere that's not where we had originally planned. So I have a first stop location, which in our case is a church. Our second stop would be outside the area location that we know that we would meet, that's still within our town or, you know, that's within about 10 miles of where we live, that we'd say, okay, our next area. But if we don't know, you know, if that's going to be available, then we'd write, we are going to this extra place. But we always leave the note to say, yes, we have gone there. But in contrary, I will never put a note up that says, we're not in our home. And quietly, you know, in red tape underneath that, or it would say, oh, so come in and destroy anything in our house because we're not going to be coming back. You know, I don't announce that we're gone. We just simply know that we put that note in a particular location, leave a light on so it looks like we're coming back or something else like that, and flight goes out and whatever. So those are the kind of things that we have to pay attention to. You need to know where you're going to meet, and then you have on in that list as well a call list. So if you have telephone communications, we all know, and those people whom we call know that we're going to call them. And so I know to call which people to call and in what order and say, has my wife, has she called you yet? No, she hasn't. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I better find out what's going on with this note, why she hasn't called. Maybe she doesn't have any phone or whatever. That note is the most important thing. But more important than the note even is before you leave that, you just need to have a habit and say, if something were to happen and we were not able to be here, what's our plan? And everyone, just review it. What's our plan? And we say it. So we know that it's clear in everybody's mind where they are, what they've taken, and what to do. That's probably the number one thing I would suggest.
You know, I'm going to share a tip, and again, I'm no expert. I have no idea that this would even work, but it's tips that you see on different websites that are out there about this topic, and we've got probably four different pairs of, if you want to call them walkie-talkies or radios or CBs, and a combination of all of those. I found, and I made a really awesome score on a mint pair of old-fashioned metal telescoping antenna CB radios. They're about the size of two bricks put together. And that shows you how old they are, but they were mint. Guy had them in a box in his closet somewhere, never used them for however many years, and really got a score on those on, I believe it was eBay for, I mean, it was pennies, probably, you know, less than 10, 12 bucks. And then, of course, you have the Motorola ones you find in the sporting goods stores as well. Well, we've got some with the NOAA weather radio system built in and things like that on it as well. Many different types, not to mention our wind-up radios, our solar radios, things like that we have. But we've got several pair wrapped, the handheld CBs we have wrapped, and we've got a couple of pair of the good old-fashioned Motorola radios we have wrapped. In fact, I keep one in my car. Jen keeps one in her car. In case, so we maybe can communicate, depending on how far away from the house either one of us are, if it hits the fan. We have those wrapped in tinfoil, you know, Reynolds wrap tinfoil in mm-hmm. case. And I don't know if that'll protect for EMP. I have no idea. But
if the wrapping is all the way around and sealed, it should. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was the issue there, is we have those wrapped, several pair of different type of CB pair, and then the good old communication pair wrapped in good old Reynolds wrapped aluminum foil several times over in anticipation that might help. So that's a tip for you, that if you choose to protect them in case of one of those, you know, how expensive is the aluminum foil? So that's interesting. I mean, if you wanted to take this one step further, you could have an old throwaway laptop that you do that with and keep it stored in your closet, you know, and have the battery charged, an extra battery if internet was available. You know, there's all these what ifs. So,
sure.
Interesting. But, yeah, so that's great information about the, you know, where to go and how to get there and things like that. Now, we keep in our bug-out bag, it's not, and now I try to get in touch with my friend USMC Vet. He keeps one in the back of his Jeep. And he shared on his blog talk show about I think it's called what is this called? I can't remember. And he's got one that very intensive, and he went through it on his show, Standing for Liberty, I think it's called. And mine's not quite as detailed as his, for the most part, as far as a grab and go. And we keep it just about when we go anywhere. And I've got something in there that most people probably don't have, just because I was in the business, and that is a heart defibrillator, an AED. Mm-hmm. That I keep in mind, just in case. But also I have that we didn't mention. And again, you can, like you said, you can buy them already put together. Instead of buying all these tiny little pieces, you might, you know, find it even cheaper to just buy one, like you said, put together, 72-hour bug-out bag. But we also have a couple of different types of masks. I mean, if we're out on the road and something hits the fan and, you know, it's some type of chemical or biological release, we've got both the couple of different types of masks that we have that we keep in there with a couple of different types of screw-on filters. And then the nano masks as well, depending on what it may be, is released, the nano mask. And then we've got the typical NBC type of mask that we have, the Israel issue. That we have with many of the different types of canisters we can put on there. So we have that. We've got the typical, you know, Bowie knife and a firearm in there and a couple of other things that we keep. Plus, don't forget, you can get, and I'll plug it because we've used them for several years. We have one on our counter, but we also have a travel one, and that's a water purification I'm sure you're aware of, Aaron, and that's the Berkey, the travel Berkey.
Sure.
That we have as well. We always carry a couple of those with us. It's got the filter built right in. So if we do need to go to the stream or the water or the creek and our creek, depending on where you're from, then you can get some a water source that way and still have that filtered water system. So and a few more things that we have in there. So it's but we do keep masks and ours for just in case. And I wanted to share that tip with our folks about the using the aluminum foil to wrap that up in it. It may actually work. It may not. I have no idea because I've never been through one, so just speculation. So.
That's true. It's an interesting thing. It's one of those things that we say, oh, I hope I never have to use one of these, but it's good to have those available. And one of the main things, I think, is major emergencies tend to give us warning for the most part. There are some that don't. A tornado may not, and earthquakes may not. But any man-made emergencies will, because the 9/11 didn't, but for the most part we feel these tensions arising and say, you know, this is, and people start getting a little bit more nervous. Kind of pay attention to those hints, those you know, suggestions, because and go through your bags and stuff like that. The biggest thing is don't worry, don't be all stressed about it. Just kind of be prepared and know where you need to go. Basically, keep warm, have water, and get some food.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And those are the critical things. And all the rest is, you know, we want communication. We want more comfort. We want, you know, a lot of the other things, extra change of clothes or, you know, whatever. But the big things are you need to keep warm and dry. You need to have water, and then you need to have food. And if you can do that, you can survive for quite a while. And 72 hours, actually, to tell you the truth, I think a full week is what people need to prepare for, because it takes a while for things to kind of settle down. Just look at any major disasters, and most people are out for a week more than 72 days or 72 hours. So.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll look for you in a couple of weeks here, a couple of more weeks, and we'll be talking about different types of generators, gas generators, propane generators, solar generators, and other kind of power sources, not necessarily fuel sources, but power sources, and the good, the bad, the ugly regarding those. So we'll be looking forward to that. And until then, we hope you stay safe and continue to educate all. And Pazumpa.com, folks, www.pazumpa.com, where you can get some of that, some of those print-offs and information that we talked about on the radio show today. So Aaron Mackley, the Preparedness Show, thank you very much for joining us again today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All righty. And one more thing, too, folks, is as you start to prepare, or if you've already started preparing, and you might run into some folks that say, why are you doing that, or why are you doing this, or oh, I don't need to do that, I don't need to do this. It's just another form of insurance for another possible problem. Nobody expects their house to burn down, but guess what? You have homeowner's insurance, right? Nobody expects to get in a car accident today, but guess what? You have auto insurance, right? Wait. You don't expect your house to burn down? Well, you know, so it's kind of that issue. It's just another form of insurance. That's all it is. It's not that you're fear-mongering or any of that type of issue. You have homeowner's insurance. You have car insurance. You have other different health insurance. You know, nobody expects to, you know, all of, you know. So you've got these other insurance insurances in place for the what ifs. So this is just another form of insurance for a what if. So if it never happens, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it hasn't happened. You've got some extra, you got some extra canned goods to eat. How about that? You've got some extra food. You got some extra water. Whatever the case may be. Thank goodness. I hope it never happens. But it's just another form of insurance, and you can share that with the folks. If they say, "Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that?" Well, do you think your house is going to burn down tomorrow? Well, of course not. Well, then why do you have health? Why don't you have homeowners insurance? So you can kind of use that kind of as a comparable apples to apples sort of thing. Okay, we got 5 minutes left, and we have some chicken trivia. Today is Monday, which is brought to you by Crazy K Farm. You want to visit them online at crazykfarm.com or, of course, hensaver.com. Hensaver.com. They are the makers of the awesome Hensaver hen apron. Our hen saddle that many people know them by. And we're going to take caller number five. We're going to bow real quick. Caller number five today at 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. And real quick, you may have listened on Saturday. You may have listened all last week. You may listen today. If you know the town that I broadcast from on Saturday, that's what we're looking at, the town, city and town, city and state, where we broadcast the radio show live on Saturday, this past Saturday, March 5th. If you can tell me, I'll make it easy. If you can tell me the store that we broadcast from, or the town, or even the state, if you can name one of those three, then you'll win today's trivia. And we said we'd take what? Caller number four, Pat?
Yeah, I think you said number four.
Okay, caller number 4-347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. Caller number 4, if you can tell us, that's the official one now, caller number 4, if you can tell us either the store, the city, or the state that we visited over the weekend. We broadcast live on location from there. We offered a poultry workshop there. It was a wonderful, wonderful event. We had a lot of time. You will win a hen saver, hen apron from Crazy K Farm. And lots of great comments about that on our Facebook page and on in the chat room when we give these away. Or they say, "Oh, I need another one of those, or I need some more of those. They look awesome." We've had some great stories. I know, Pat, that you use them. I've got one here. And so absolutely. So 347-637-3237. Name the store, the city, or the state where we broadcast the radio show live on location from this past Saturday, March the 5th. Caller number 4, if they know the right answer, is going to be the big, big winner. So let's go ahead and go to the phone lines.
Okay.
All righty. You're live with Andy and Pat today. Caller number 4 from area code 423. Area code 423. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
This is Charles again from Rogersville, Tennessee.
Yeah, hey, Charles. Tennessee.
Do I still qualify here?
Oh, yes. No problem at all there. No problem at all whatsoever.
Okay.
And did y'all get flooded out over the weekend?
Yeah, we got a good bit of rain up here.
we did, too. Absolutely, yeah. Without a doubt. All righty. If you'll let us know, we'll take any three of those answers for where we did Saturday. What do you think?
I know you were in North Carolina.
That'll work. Yep, we were at the Mountain Valley Country Store in Haysville, North Carolina. Just over the Georgia border. Well, awesome. You've won a Hen Saver hen apron from Crazy K Farm, and you can visit them online at hensaver.com. And just send me, you know the drill, you can send me email, your name, address, shipping address, that is, and phone number to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Send that over. We'll get that over to Toby at Crazy K Farm. Once again, thank you very much for joining us today. We have a great show lined up for everybody tomorrow. It looks like, hang on, let me see. I had it right in front of me about 30 seconds ago. Tomorrow, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. That's the first Tuesday. No, tomorrow's the first Tuesday of the month, the second Tuesday. Yep, I'm missing my phone's covering. Yeah, tomorrow, American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Yep, Raising geese for the holidays. That is tomorrow with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, this coming up Wednesday. We're going to be welcoming I'm running out of time.
Barrister?
Very quick. No, this Wednesday with First State Vet Supply, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. This Thursday, we're going to have Richard Frudenberger, Back Home Magazine, and then have another fun Friday on the 11th. So you can follow us on Facebook page. Pat, take it away, about 30 seconds.
That's right. Okay. Well, thanks today to our special guest, Aaron Mackley, for talking to us about emergency preparedness. I certainly learned a lot. That was really interesting. And, of course, Andy Schneider, thank you so much for bringing all that joy into our lives. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. And, of course, appreciation to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along. Blessings to all. We love you all so much. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Ha ha ha.